tonight, Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Continue to pray for those classes going on in the back. I look forward to the young people having a chance to grow and learn, whether it's the teens or the master clubs or the peewee clubs, even those little ones in the nursery. So I love seeing them grow up, and we want to see them grow up and love the Lord and learn different things at their age level, even enjoy coming to church and be around their friends too. So it's nice to have those classes going on in the back. We do miss them when they're not out here, but we're thankful for what they get the chance to do. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, we're going to continue on. And tonight we're going to look at something. We've looked at a lot of different things that Solomon has tried. He's tested out. He said it was all vanity. It was all worthless. It was all this, all that, whether it was science or building or even pleasure, all those different things. And tonight we're going to look at something that a lot of people fall for, and it's wealth. It's riches. And he's gonna present something here in verses 7 through 20 that I think is kind of interesting. He paints a picture, and it's interesting when they paint a picture of two different people. You got one person who has wealth, and they're never satisfied, always wanting more, always want more, always want more. And then you have someone else over here that maybe doesn't have as much wealth, but you know what? They're satisfied. You know, godliness or contentment, it's great gain. And the scripture doesn't say there's anything wrong with having wealth. Sometimes God blesses people for wealth. I think everything that God gives us is aimed to bringing glory and honor to Him and glory and honor to His name. I think when God gives someone wealth or possessions, it's something that we use for the glory and honor of God. If it's a talent, if it's a treasure, whatever our resources are, those are things that God has given us. And just I think the easiest way to look at this passage of Scripture is just kind of walk through the passage of Scripture a little bit, explaining some different things, and then making some application at the end. But tonight, it's the title of this evening's message is Loving Silver Will Never Satisfy. Loving silver will never satisfy. If you would go back and you look in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, 2 Chronicles chapter number 9, it begins to describe some of the wealth that Solomon had. And I remember Mr. Barry was telling me he was at some type of museum or something, and he was reading how that the Solomon's temple and how much gold Solomon had was numerous times more than what they have in Fort Knox. He was just wealthy beyond all imagination. And what God had done and blessed that nation, and Solomon, so he's writing here in this thought, hey, I know something about this. I know what it's like to have riches, and I know that it's not going to bring true satisfaction. Let's jump in here. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, and we're going to start in verse number 7. It says, that's where we finished off last week, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are all also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. Why do we start there? It's because we want that phrase there, is fear thou God. There is a lot of different varieties of worthless things, but what are we supposed to do? Fear the Lord. Verse number 8, it speaks about injustice and dealing with injustice. It says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment, injustice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. So here in the verse number 8, we're just going to, like I said, probably take some verses and just look at it. You're dealing with injustice here, and sometimes people look at it, and they look at other people's wealth and look at other people's riches and say, that's not fair. How come that person gets to have all the money and all the things and all the good things, and these people don't? And here what the scripture is talking about is dealing with the poor. Now, I don't want you to think that the Bible is silent about the poor. It's not. The Bible talks about how the church is supposed to respond and how the church is supposed to help. I don't think the church is supposed to help laziness. I mean, if there's someone who is poor and who someone is in a bad situation and some different things like that, that's one thing. And I think lots of times in the day and time that we live in, there's people who are oppressing those that are poor. They're trying to make money off the poor. They're trying to give things and making them pay back. I remember probably the worst job, well, maybe the second worst job, I ever had. I was coming home from Pensacola, and I cleaned truck stops, bathrooms at night. That was not a fun job. And it's but my second worst job was being a telemarketer. And as a telemarketer, it was the same thing. And sometime when I was around Pensacola, either before or after, I would used to call the people up and convince the people that were in credit card debt they needed another credit card. All you had to do is take all this money off this credit card, transfer it to this new credit card, and save 0% interest for 6 months or 12 months. And you know what that bank was doing? They were trying to get rich off them because they knew once that 6 months was over, they're going to have this long bill. And more than likely, they were going to fill up the credit cards that they had transferred it from. There were people that were trying to oppress them. And what the scriptures is giving here, he says, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice and providence, marvel not at the matter. The situation of injustice is upsetting. The poor, maybe not talking always about just poor materially, sometimes it can be how they're accepted by society. There is different groups of people that are taken advantage of by society. There are people that they look upon them and they oppress them. And that's what the scripture is saying here. But it also says, marvel not at it. Don't be surprised by it. This counsel is good. It tells us not to get worked up. It's saying it is a common experience in life. Does not mean we ignore the problem, and that's what the scripture is saying here. It says, and justice and a providence, marvel not at the matter. He's saying, look, this is something that happens and is going to continue on happening. It's probably going to get worse and worse when people manipulate things and people oppress people and oppress things. You think about how this virus has been taken and then tried to manipulate people and oppress them into certain things. In my mind, that there is challenges that are happening here. He says, don't marvel at that, but remember something. And look at the truth he's saying, remember here towards the end of the verse. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Obviously, he's talking about the Lord here. Higher than the highest regarded, and they are higher than they. If God is aware of the problem, it means that God will take action in due time. This is encouraging. He will take action. He is always at work. And this is something that is a counsel for believers, that God knows all about the problems. He knows all about the troubles. And he is a higher authority than these oppressors. He will take action in his time. He will correct the situation in his time and in his way. And it's sort of like Habakkuk the other day. We learned that Sunday morning. He's crying out, God, look at all the evil. Look at all the wickedness. How come you don't fix Israel? And God's like, I am going to fix it. You're not going to like the way I fix it, but I'm always at work. And we've got to remember that. And that's what he's saying here. And I think it's good for the day and time that we live in is, hey, look, there is people out there that are perverting judgment. There are people out there that is oppressing the poor. There are people out there that are doing wrong. But we got to remember that there is a God, and that God we serve is higher than them. No matter who wins the presidency, no matter who is king over or dictator over in some other foreign country, God is higher than them. He has more authority than they all do, and God is aware and God is able to work. Next thing I see in verse number 9, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. And I think it's interesting as he's introducing this thing about wealth and introducing this thing about how it does not satisfy. He's saying, look, there are people that oppress the poor. There are people that go out there and they do whatever they can to make money and even hurt those that are less fortunate. But remember why God created the earth. And he says here, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. God made the earth and its blessings for all the inhabitants. Now, the people who oppress, they act as if the world is made just for them. They try to gain all the blessings. They try to deprive oppressed people by any means possible by receiving all types of blessings. And here's the challenge is, we got to remember, God made this earth and it's a blessing for us all. It's not just for those that have money. It's not just for those that have power. Not just for those that are willing to pervert different things. Instead, it is something that God has made for us all to enjoy. Next thing, he begins to talk about the wealth a little bit here. And I love this verse. It's where we get our title for the messages. And so probably the main points underneath this, if you're taking outline, is truths about wealth. Truths about wealth. Verse number 10, he says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. He's saying here that it is worthless worthless to try to pursue after silver. Now, once again, there is nothing wrong with having wealth, nothing wrong with going out and working. The scriptures talk about that. The challenge is, and where it's vanity, is when we begin to love it. The scripture talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. It's saying that wealth will not bring satisfaction in life. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Solomon here, who had people just bringing him gold at times, and people that would just bring him wealth, he would look at those things and he says, that's never going to satisfy it. And I remember working with, and still working with those that are maybe from lower income neighborhoods and other people there that, and I always talk to them, and I rode the bus with them. Maybe, I'm sure some church kids feel the same way, but they just know better than say it. But sometimes those that rode the vans and rode the buses, and I grew up with them, all they wanted to do was make money. As long as I can make money, I'm good. It doesn't matter how I make the money, as long as I can be rich. And that's what they have been taught, and that's what they've been ingrained with. I had one guy tell me one time he wanted to be a preacher because he thought I made a ton of money. He says, man, you got it good. You got a big house back there, which it was the church's house, and you got a vehicle, and you get to wear a suit. And this, he thought the preacher made tons and tons of money. He says, I want to become a preacher. I said, because God called you? He said, no. He says, you're rich. And I says, I hate to tell you, but that's just not the case. But at the same time, it's not rich when it comes to financial things, but rich in what the Lord gives us. And they thought that they would find satisfaction in wealth. That's what the whole story of Solomon is. I tried wisdom. I was more intelligent than anyone else that has ever been born. It didn't satisfy me. I tried pleasure. I didn't let anything be away from me that I thought would bring me pleasure. I tried it all, and he had the ability to do that. It didn't bring me pleasure. I tried accomplishment after accomplishment after accomplishment, and it didn't satisfy me. None of these things satisfied me. And he comes to this point, he says, the person who loves their money, who loves silver, was never going to truly, honestly be satisfied. Godliness with contentment is great gain. This is a truth about wealth. First thing is the prediction about wealth. The truths about wealth, the prediction about wealth. It's never going to satisfy. There's a lack of satisfaction. Wealth does not satisfy. The rich are seldom content. Think about it. When John D. Rockefeller was asked how much wealth would be enough for him, he said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Someone who was super wealthy, had more than he could ever spend. He says, how much would be enough for you? He says, just a little bit more. And I know we're looking at wealth tonight, but this is any area of our lives that we put before the Lord. Anytime we try to live a portion of our life without God, if I can just find this friendship or if I can find satisfaction in this, satisfaction is from what God can give us and he can make us satisfied. Next thing you think about, not only is it the lack of satisfaction, but the limit of satisfaction. Look what it says in verse 11. When goods increase, they are increased that they may that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof? Saving the beholding of them with their eyes. And so what it's saying here is if you accumulate a great amount of possessions, all you can do is look at them. Wealth is so empty in its fulfillment. It's saying here when goods increase, they're increased that eat them. And they're all just going to go away at some point in time. There's always going to be something there. And then he says, look, all you're going to be able to do is look at that wealth. Think about the penalty of wealth, not just a prediction, but look at the penalty of wealth here in verse number 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Wealth seldom permits a good night's sleep. If that's what you're looking to make satisfaction, if you love money and you're always looking to make more money, you make more money, you know what's going to happen? You're never going to be satisfied. And what the scripture is saying here, this abundance of the rich, they do not get a good night's sleep. There is many people today that sit there and they would love to just have one good night's sleep. Our dog's having a little bit of problem. She's a great little dog. Fluffer's her name. And she's older now. You know what it's like to be old? Fluffer does. Fluffer wants to now not sleep the whole through the night. And sometimes we kennel her. Sometimes, you know, she stays out a little bit most times, but she's struggling right now. She can't sleep. And because she can't sleep, there's someone in our family who can't sleep either. And usually it rotates around, but usually it's not me because the dog might not make it through the night if it bothered my sleep. So you say, Pastor, what do you say that? It's a challenge when something's bothering you. It's a challenge when something's there and annoying you in some ways. And what the scriptures say, there's a penalty. When you don't have your heart right, and if you're searching for something and you're trying to find fulfillment in something else besides God, it's something there that you're never going to be satisfied. You're not going to be able to sleep because you're always going to be desiring more and more and more. You think about those who won the lottery. Most times when someone's won a lottery, at 10 years down the road, they become bankrupt sometimes. And other times they'll say, I've heard testimony more than once, I wish I never won that lottery. It ruined my life. And what is that? It's because it became a love for money. It became a love for possessions and love for things. And this is a great thing, being close to Thanksgiving, to help us understand, hey, Solomon may be one of the wealthiest men to ever live. I did a Google search to try to find out a little bit about Solomon's wealth, talk about all the different things he had. And many times on the Google search, it said, top 20 richest people of all time. I didn't have time to click on it and see, but it was saying Solomon's on the list of the top 20 people, richest people of all time. And he is saying that silver will not satisfy you. Famous celebrities many times will need sleeping pills and other aids to just help them with their jaded feelings. If they were poor and they had to work all day, you know what they would do? He'd be able to sleep. Look what it says there. I mean, it's saying it's better. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And sometimes if you have trouble sleeping, you know, guess, work a little bit harder. And if you work a little bit harder, a little bit longer, and I know some people deal with issues besides that, I get that, but the Bible's saying that the laboring man is sweet. And it says it doesn't matter whether you eat little or much. It's okay. He is laboring because he's done his labor for the day. He is now ready to rest and to sleep. There's generally a very big price to pay when you're rich. And it continues on. Think about the perishing of wealth. Not just the different the truths about wealth, the prediction about wealth, the penalty of wealth, but look at what it says about the perishing of wealth. Look what it says in verses 13 through 17. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof for their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points, as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with sickness. Think about the idea of hoarding wealth. That's what it's talking about in verse number 13. There is sore, talking about severe evil, which I've seen under the sun. This is what Solomon's saying. He says, namely, riches kept, talking about someone who will hoard it, for the owners thereof to their hurt. Riches which are hoarded bring problems. Hoarding will not stop the perishing of riches, the perishing of many good things for the wealthy. And then it continues on that, you know, it's going to be gone anyway. When it says that in verse number 14, but those riches perish by evil travail, it's a heritage there of the wealth. Solomon's speaking of the problem of how people many times will keep all their wealth to be able to leave it to their children, and their children misuse that, and the children abuse that. It's gone right out of their hands because they've never been taught. They never had a father that loved them and trained them. Instead, he was always interested in getting more wealth, and when he had something to leave, they never understood the heritage that they were leaving behind. And I understand the Bible does speak about leaving something for your children's children. I don't think there's anything wrong with planning in the future and having a heritage and even having something to leave to your children. But I think it is so much more important to leave a godly heritage than it is to leave some wealth to them. To have a father and a mother that loved the Lord and taught them those things instead of someone who spent all their lives to pursue after riches and never truly leaving a godly heritage or a goodly heritage is what the Bible talks about. Then it talks about here in verse number 15, it's just the perspective. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. And he shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And it's the idea, naked you came in this world, naked you're going to leave this world. Someday you're going to stand before God with your naked soul, and you're going to give an account for him. Those riches, those things that you love, those things that you lived for, they're all going to be left behind. I've always heard preachers use that illustration or that thing. I've never seen a Hertz pulling a U-Haul before. Someday someone's going to do that just to prove them wrong. But the reality is, it's whatever goes in that ground is going to stay in that ground until somebody pulls it up and steals it anyway, because it's worthless. It's vain. If we put our life in the focus of trying to live for God, that's one thing. We have this understanding, hey, I can't take any of this stuff with me. It's going to be here, and it's going to stay here. But I can send stuff forward. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I can take these things and I can send them forward. And that's what Solomon's saying here. He's using this idea of that we can't hold on to the wealth. You can't take it with you. All the accumulated wealth you gain in this life is going to stay here when you pass it away. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And the reality of the scriptures is saying, stop loving and living for the things of this world. And that's what Solomon say. If anyone could have been satisfied with how much silver they had, it would have been me. But he says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied. Then you think about the hurting from the wealth. Look what it says in verse number 17. And all his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. So what they're saying is, it's a sad plight of a wealthy person is spoken of here. Few that are wealthy that really enjoy their life. They lack sleep. We see that. And many times they're very, very lonely because all they're interested in is someone, how to make more money. We know that story about the Christmas Carol and how nobody liked Ebenezer Scrooge and because of the way he was. And it's a perfect example of the person that wanted more and wanted more. And he is someone who eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Now, verses 18 through 20 gives a little bit of a different perspective. That's what we said there was two different pictures that are painted here. You have one guy here is saying, hey, look, don't try to be satisfied with silver. It's never going to happen. And if anything, you're going to lose your sleep. If anything, you're going to lose your family. You're going to be miserable. You're going to have this sickness that the evil days will come, and the riches are going to perish by evil travail. That's a person that's living for the wrong motives and living for the wrong reasons. I'm trying to get everything I can out of this life, and I'm trying to do it without God. I think I can find acceptance, and I think I can find happiness and satisfaction in silver and gold. But he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied. Verses 18 through 20 begins to talk about a different perspective. He says, behold, that which I have seen. And this, once again, Solomon's just talking about the things he has seen. He talked about under the sun, the things he has taken advantage of. Once again, it's a wealthy person. Behold, and a very wise person, behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun, all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Now, for he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. So he's saying here in this first verse, this is somebody who's only interested in wealth and things. He's trying to find his satisfaction away from God. You have in these next three verses a man who understands something. First, you see here that he is enjoying his possessions. Behold, that's what I've seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink. You know, sometimes the people are woefully limited in their experience of joy. I see sometimes kids out there, and we're talking about the playground, talking about what type of pieces to build and how to do those different things out there and which type, what brand. And I made a comment a couple of times, you know, I've seen kids just be happy with a box. You know, they're out there and they can be happy with just something to play with. And obviously we're not just going to put a box out there. That would be silly. But at the same time, it's the purpose of, are we thankful for what we have? Are we thankful for what we have? And that's what this scripture is saying. Are we enjoying? He says, it's good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor. It's saying here, this is what God has given you. This is the place where God is. Now find joy in that. And like I said, I've seen some kids been so happy with just a box or some type of simple toy. But then I've seen other kids that some people would call them brats that would not happy or satisfied with the biggest or the best gift in all the world. They wanted something different. It's because they're pursuing the wrong things. Are we satisfied? Not just satisfied, are we enjoying the possessions that God has given us? Solomon's view is that in his earthly experience is that we should enjoy the possessions in this life. This sounds like good counsel, but it leads out the thought of being of just needing more things. I think Solomon's looking at this and wondering, maybe if I would have enjoyed my first wife, I wouldn't need the others. 699 or the other 999. Maybe if I were to learn to be satisfied with the things and would have enjoyed those things, then it would be something that realizing this is where I was. Then it continues on. It says that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. There are certain things that God gives us. He gives us a body. He gives us time. And there are certain things that we try to take for ourselves. There is an intention that God wants for us. There is a desire that God wants for us. There is a plan that God has for us. And that plan includes salvation. That plan includes us dedicating our life. But, you know, us being here in America, us having certain family that God's given us, some of us are short, some of us are tall, some of us are skinny, some of us are fat, some of us are all different types of things. And he's saying, will you be enjoying the things that I've given you? Here's the opportunities I've put before you. Are you going to be satisfied with those things? Because he that loveth silver is never going to be satisfied. But the person who looks at life, that it comes from God, and that naked came I into this world, naked will I leave this world, I can be happy with what the Lord's given me. Not only just happy with it, but view it as a gift from God. Look what it says in verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. There are a lot of people out there who says, look at the money I've made. Look at what I've accomplished. Look how much I've done. You know, and sometimes people do get wealthy, but who gives you that ability? Who gives you that opportunity? Who allows you to live in this earth? Because if it wasn't for God, we couldn't do those things. So you come to this picture here, sort of like Nebuchadnezzar, after Daniel came to him and Daniel said to him, hey, look, Nebuchadnezzar, this dream that you had, it's not good for you. You need to repent. You need to get right. Nebuchadnezzar took some time to think about it. And then he came to the spot and he looked around and he says, you know what? I'm the one that built this. I'm the one that accomplished these things. It wasn't this. And then what happened then? He became with the heart of an animal, the heart of a beast, and he was punished because he didn't realize this is a gift from God. And I don't know where you're at today. And I know that there is a struggle sometimes. I know God was working on my heart when I was studying this. Being happy, not just happy, satisfied, not even just satisfied, being joyful, saying that what God has given me is a gift. I even look at our church and I think about it. No one here is perfect. And I'm thankful for our church. You look at the facilities we have, it's great. You think about the people we have, I think it's wonderful. Think about all the different resources we have. I think we've been truly blessed. I think it's a gift from God. How are we going to use it? And some people mumble, some people grumble. But is it something to the Lord? Now, once again, we don't put up with sin. Obviously, if something could be done better, there's nothing wrong with trying to work through that. But are we thankful for what God has given us? And it's something that we actually are finding joy. This is the gift of God. And look what verse number 20 says. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Here's the privilege. For the rich are blessed not only with wealth, but also the power to enjoy their wealth. This is unusual in the fact that a person can enjoy the wealth. It's the same thing that we're talking about, that sometimes the wealthy do not enjoy it. They can't even sleep at night because of the fact that they are unhappy because they're not wealthy enough. But a person who views it as it came from God in verse number 18, it was a gift from God in verse number 19, I think what they're saying here, that remember the days of his life, shall not much remember the days of his life, they're not going to remember all the bad times. I don't know about you, if you look back on your life and you see all the challenges you went through, if you depended on the Lord, they weren't so bad. I know when someone passes away, it's hard. I know sometimes when there's a challenge and you went through something that was a little tough, if you focus on the Lord, you look back at those things and God took you through those things, and he's going to remember, like it says at the end of verse number 20, he says, God answereth him in the joy of his heart. If we can keep our joy, if we can keep our heart, hey, it's a gift from God, it came from the Lord, I can be satisfied with that. I can be content with that. I don't need to be like that guy that was telling me, hey, all I need to do is make some money. All I got to do is get some wealth. If I could just get money, I'd be happy. And I look at him and says, you're never going to be happy with it. You're always going to want more. No, no, no. If I could get $1 million, I'd be happy. And I show him this verse, he that loveth silver will never be satisfied. And sometimes I feel like even in my own life, hey, if I could just get that, I would be happy. But the reality is you're never going to be satisfied when that's your goal. When your goal is to glorify God, when your goal is to put God first in your life and he allows things to come in, I'm not saying you can never get another house or another car. I'm just saying that it shouldn't be the goal. The goal should be to glorify God. As you glorify the Lord, he will bring things in your life. And as you realize it's not me or mine, it's a gift from the Lord. So we started off talking about injustices in verse number 8. God says, hey, look, we see them, doesn't mean that we're silent about them. It means that we remember that God is in control. And I don't know how many times I've heard that in the last 6 months to a year, with COVID, the elections, with craziness going on in the world. Only thing I can get through is God is Lord, God is in control and God is good. And praise the Lord for that. I don't know how other people do it, but that's reality. He says, look, remember, I'm here. I am higher than them. I am higher than those that regard it. And remember, the earth is for everyone's goodness. It wasn't just created for those that are in charge. It wasn't just created for those that are oppressing, those that are speaking the loudest. Sometimes we feel like those that yell the loudest seem like they get the most attention. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. God has created this world for all of us. And then you see the truth about wealth. There's a prediction there. If you love wealth, you're not going to be satisfied. It's just going to go away. All you're going to be able to do is look at it. The penalty of wealth is never really truly being able to relax, never truly being able to be comfortable in your own self. And then you consider the perishing of the wealth. It leaves us. We leave this world if we can learn to be satisfied with what God gave us. Everything we have is from the Lord. I want to encourage you today, tonight, loving silver will never satisfy. I've tried different times in my life living for other things, and I never found satisfaction outside of living for him. The greatest nights of sleep I get are the ones that I've lived for the Lord all day long. I did a good day's work, and I know that I have a clear conscience and when I lay my head down tonight at pillow. Now, sometimes there are people I want to pray for. Sometimes God lays people on your heart and he wants you to pray. But there are many people that will struggle sleeping tonight because they're so interested in getting more stuff, more money, more possessions, that they forget what God's given us as a gift already and we should be satisfied. Or like Paul said, content. Paul said, hey, look, I know what it's like to have a lot. I know what it's like to have a little. But he said, you know what? I've learned something. An important truth. I have learned to be content. I don't know where you're at in your life today, but make God the goal. Serving him, his glory. Solomon, maybe one of the wealthiest people ever lived, top 20 according to Google, people that ever lived. And he says, if you go for living silver, you're never going to find any type of satisfaction. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say. It is a gift for God. And God answers us in the joy of our heart. As we're joyful, God will answer our problems and our needs because we put him first. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we come to church so often. I think it's a good thing. I think your Bible says to do it. And we hear message after message after message, sermon after sermon. And Lord, we want to stay true to your word. Lord, we hear Solomon writing these words, "He that loveth silver will never be satisfied." Help us to take those things to heart. Help us to memorize that verse and put it into our lives to help not only for ourselves, but to remind our children. The next generation is being told so many lies on so many different levels. They need someone to remind them, you're never going to be satisfied with more things. True satisfaction only comes from serving and dedicating our life to the Lord. Lord, we consider some of the wonderful truths we heard tonight. The things that we have, the abilities and talents, that's a gift from God. And Lord, not only is it a gift from God, it's something that we're supposed to enjoy. Help us to remember there's two different people here. There's one who's miserable but has much. And there's one who may not have much but is joyful and thankful before the gift that comes from God. And no matter who that person is, naked came we in this world, naked we're going to leave this world. We're not taking any of it with us. But Lord, how much joy we will have in rejoicing in you and what you allowed us to do in this world that we can send ahead. Or things that we can place at your feet and say, Lord, even though I couldn't carry this physical thing here, I could bring somebody with me. Lord, I pray that you help us have the right perspective. Help us not to love that silver. We know money is part of what we use to survive in this world, and it's necessary and needful for some certain things that are important. Lord, help us to have the right heart attitude. And whether it's money or it's a hobby or whatever it is, even a relationship, help us to realize that those things will never truly satisfy us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a short time of invitation.